The January 6th committee will be televising its seventh episode this week in their series of public hearings on the attack on the Capitol. In the first hearing, the committee showed video footage from a documentary filmmaker embedded with the Proud Boys on January 6th, footage that helped make the case that this and other right-wing militia groups were involved in leading the mob. The hearing this week is expected to show that Trump enlisted these groups in furthering his aim of staying in power. Well, Mike, as a documentary filmmaker myself, I was particularly interested in the storytelling arc of the hearings, a series of hearings, as well as the role of various protagonists brought onto the stage, mostly Republicans who agreed to testify. So let's start with one of the central storytelling arcs of the hearings. Testimony unfolded to tell the story of the attack on the Capitol as an attempted coup carried out by Trump and his legal advisors. So what's at stake for Trump and his cronies legally and politically in this case that January 6th was part of an attempted coup?
Well, I think that is the basic story. And the Republicans made a monumental screw up when they decided not to participate in the January 6th hearings. So we do have a real narrative. We have a story arc. It's been artfully presented. And had they had what was originally proposed, which is equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, all to be over with by 2021's end, then they would have been able to muck things up. But as it is, we have a growing story. It's getting better and better. They've now got insiders, sort of young interns, idealistic types that are the heartbeat of both Republicans and Democrats in any large organization. Cassidy Hutchinson's reporting on what she saw was riveting because it comes from the person who was an idealist, someone who looked up to these people and was working precisely because of her admiration. So the tone of deep disappointment that she threw in was very effective.
Yeah, youth seduced and abandoned by the elders. I mean, it's often part of tragedies and other dramas where you have the king surrounded by ushers and pages in the court who attend to his every whim, but often have a kind of power through their intimacy circulating close to power. That exposes a certain vulnerability, the Achilles heel of the king. So there's an aspect of that drama here with these interns playing an outsized role, often not paid very much. And I think Trump may not have known her name, though probably did recognize her as a pretty young woman. But what do you make of the power of their testimony? Is it that they're kind of innocent and not locked into power? So even though they're Republicans who I think were aspiring themselves to moving up the ranks of the Republican Party.
Well, they were there. See, you and I could not be there. Nobody listening to this show could be there. But because they believed and they were idealistic, they were there and they were also just like wallpaper. They were so omnipresent, doing, you know, all the coffee carrying, all the document copying, all those kind of routine things that need to be done. They were basically invisible. So they got a very close, intimate look at what was going down.
I think also the point you make, though, about they're projecting the innocence and the idealism of youth, much like Caroline Edwards, a U.S. Capitol police officer who opened the hearings, also present to comment on the testimony of her being attacked by the mob. And so by her presence and Hutchinson's presence, you accept their point of view. You know, they offer a kind of POV, a point of view on the testimony on the screen, as well as identifying with their sense of being betrayed by their elders. Whereas a lot of the political establishment, the Republicans that were testifying were not as riveting as these young people.
Yeah, and this will make it possible, I think, to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump, which has been very hard to do. You know, we talked a long time ago about why the New York prosecutor should prosecute him and could prosecute him because he has run a criminal enterprise for 30 or 40 years, valuing his buildings at a really high number when he wants a loan, valuing them as trash when he wants to pay taxes on them, stiffing people right and left. There's a dozens of crimes that he's committed that, but for some mysterious reason, the prosecution in the Southern District of New York, which is historically maybe the most important prosecutor's office in the country, haven't gone forward. They were about to, or so it seemed, they hired two really skilled prosecutors who were developing the case, but then Cyrus Vance left, and this new guy, Alvin Bragg, has not shown any urgency at all. And those two prosecutors resigned. So that may be foundering.
Well, what about there are a range of potential criminal charges against Trump that have been introduced in the hearings. I mean, one around fraud that is, I guess, aligned with his business practices, raising money for fraudulent purposes. How does that weigh against some of the other criminal charges? The most serious is conspiracy and the attempted coup.
Well, the most heartening news for me recently has been the DOJ's actively going after the lawyers, going after James Eastman, John Eastman, Jeffrey Clark, and Giuliani. These are the guys that Trump is going to say, they advised me. I thought I had a chance here. I thought this was a legal angle.
Can you just explain a bit about Eastman's role, because that emerged in the first hearing. It was central to the fourth hearing. And so it seems to all be both used in Trump's defense that he was advised by this well-respected attorney that there was a legal basis precedent for claiming that Mike Pence could not certify the election and return it to the states. That was Eastman's legal theory that people question, but does that give Trump cover?
Well, and that's why I'm so glad to see them going after these guys, because there is also records where they knew that they were wrong. They knew it was bogus. They knew it was a desperate move that had no legal basis. There's strong evidence that has emerged about a whole fake elector scheme, including testimony from senior Justice Department officials that laid the foundation for charging Eastman and Giuliani and possibly Jeffrey Clark with all kinds of state and federal crimes, including obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., false statements in connection with a fake elector scheme, election fraud. There's like cumulative evidence has emerged showing that the president was told explicitly by multiple people that he had lost the election, and that once he exhausted his judicial remedies, which he did pretty quickly, losing 60 cases, his continued pressure campaign to prevent the orderly transfer of power was illegal. Now, what the lawyers did said they recognized that was the case. And yet they came up with this last minute scheme without any basis in other than the most threadbare thread, namely of having Mike Pence being able to do something that no one's ever done before, no one's even talked about doing before, based on an obscure reading of obscure statutes, that he had suddenly the power to completely stop and reframe elections to be decided by a Republican body.
How do you see the testimony and perhaps the position of Liz Cheney as expressive of a struggle and the split within the Republican Party?
Well, Jared Kushner once said that my father-in-law has executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. That's exactly right. Now, who did he take it from? He took it from the Bushes and the Cheneys. They formerly were the Republican Party. with all the hyper-aggressive foreign policies that they still have, but they had a sense of decor, or how to play the game, that Trump realized was not popular, and that he could bring a different attitude. And so doing, not only was he successful in ripping the party away from these people, but he got a lot of support from people who value him more for his attitude than for any of his positions. Now, of course, they were not pleased in any sense. So this is the classic, divide. It's the only way, in fact, the truth has any chance of emerging, is when different factions fight for themselves, and in so doing, bring down or present the evidence that would undercut the other side.
There's also the dramatic role of the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, the Proud Boys, though, who've regularly appeared in rallies and events here in Oregon to terrorize people. They've played a starring role in the hearings and expected to this week. How much weight would you give to that case, that Trump was directly or indirectly involved in communicating and coordinating on some fashion the attack on the Capitol with these militia groups?
Well, he told them to stand back and stand by. There was no secret. That's the banana republic aspect of all this, is that he had hoped to have an assault that would cause chaos, and that he would then step in to calm things down and be, and of course the Proud Boys were a critical part of that. They were the ones who got there first, who had tools to cut locks. They were an indispensable part of the attack on the Capitol building.
Okay, well, we'll continue to follow this as it unfolds and try to understand some of the tensions, conflicts, and crises here for the Republican Party and the right as we build an alternative vision through the left.
And let's close with a kudos to Kevin McCarthy for having allowed the Democrats to set up this panel with only one or two very embittered and very skillful and determined Republicans in order to create what, as you say, has been a marvelously good job at storytelling, a narrative arc, and we're here on the edge of another cliff-hanging precipice with yet another exciting day of testimony due coming up on July 12th, Tuesday.
Yeah, it reminds me of Jared Kushner, whose testimony was included several times, where he says, "Well, I just thought these guys were whining a lot." Well, they are just whining now about this committee. Well, too bad. Tough it out. Okay, thanks, Mike. We'll continue to cover this.
Right on. Take care.
You too.